Good morning, afternoon, or evening, everyone, and welcome to Rezoo, the Zoo Review Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Baker, and I am joined on this brand new journey by my incredible co-host and fellow passionate zoo lover, the one, the only, Jodie McFarlane. Say hello, Jodie.
Hello, everyone.
Presented by Pangolin, the conservation podcast, this sister show promises to explore, appreciate, and highlight the fantastic conservation work of zoos from around the world, while also offering perspective on the visitor experience.
To get our zoo review journey started, we are here to introduce ourselves and the show. We will tell you a little bit about us and about it, and explain why we are so excited about this new adventure.
So, let's get started. So yes, thank you so much for joining me today, Jodie. I guess to get us started, for new listeners perhaps to the show who have just seen Rezoo pop up somewhere and are listening, I thought we should introduce ourselves and the concept first of all. So let's start with us. Quick introductions. Who are you? Why are you here? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so as I said, I'm Jodie. Me and Jack have been best pals for what feels like forever now. And we are both, as he said, very passionate zoo lovers. So me personally, I have worked for a number of years across a few different animal collections, including an aquarium and a zoo. And I tend to be in roles that focus on visitor experience and engagement. And as a result, I'm quite interested in the education side of conservation. And I'm now in the process of studying to hopefully become a teacher.
Lovely. That is, yeah, a good mix of things. And a little bit about me. Similarly, I have worked in a zoo and in an aquarium. I've also done a degree in international relations. And during that time, I kind of realized I was interested in the non-human elements of the world more than the human. So went back, did a degree in conservation, started this podcast. I'm the host of the regular version of Pangolin as well. So if you haven't listened to that, go and check that out. I appreciate that a lot. And yeah, so that's just a little bit about me. My favorite animal's a tapir and I talk too much. So that is, yeah, that's me. Before I get too rambly, what is the show? Well, I'll give it a little, I've got a written down spiel that I've written down so I get it right and explain it correctly. And then I'll let Jodie come in and ad lib a little bit on what she thinks the show is as well. So Rezoo is a passion project of ours. It is something that we've thought about for a long time. And in the most basic sense, I suppose it is a zoo review show. We're going to visit various zoos around the UK. And at some point, hopefully around the world, when it becomes a bit safer to travel, we'll go abroad, visit somewhere that's sunny, different, just explore. I'm very excited for that element. We're going to talk about the enclosures, the animals, the visitor experience, the conservation initiatives, everything really which makes up a modern zoo. And we'll talk about what we loved, what we were less sure of, perhaps. And ultimately, I suppose we're just going to celebrate animals and the non-human in a new and a different way to what we're usually doing here on Pangolin. So something a bit different for all of you as well. We're aiming to launch a new episode once a month or so. I'm going to set that date and say once a month or so. We'll see how we get on. Sometimes there may be more, sometimes there may be less, depending on the season or our availability to travel and just life in general. But we'll try and get one out a month-ish. And of course, this will not replace the classic Pangolin format in its entirety. This is a nice bonus, kind of sister show for everyone, but regular interview episodes will be returning later this year. And we already have some exciting guests lined up for that. So very, very excited for those when they come. But yes, I suppose what was... What is it for you? What is the show for you, Jodie? What do you think about
it? Oh, I mean, I feel like you've hit all the main bases there. I did like at the beginning, though, you said, I've got a professional bit written down so that I get it right, and then I'll pass it over to Jodie to ad lib. And really, I feel like that sums up what the whole vibe is going to be. Like, anyone coming on thinking they're getting a real sort of structured, slick thing, they're getting that from Jack's side, and then Jack will, like, come out with all of his fabulous facts and be like, and what did you think, Jodie? Passes over to me, and it's just kind of my inner monologue of what I was thinking as I was going around the zoo. So I feel like that's the sort of vibe. Like, if you're interested in hearing two best pals and their sort of constant stream of consciousness of what they were thinking as they walked around the zoo, that's basically what you're getting here. Yeah. But yeah, if you're crazy animal people like us and you love zoos, then I feel like come along for the ride and it'll be your bag.
Yes, I think that's perfect. And I think that's a very good point. If you imagine... Anyone who knows both of us, never fear that we are talking about you when we are together or being nasty about you behind your back, because literally what you are going to hear is what we discuss constantly, perhaps more filtered so we're more polite about certain things, or less in one direction or the other. We'll try and keep it more kind of less, don't want to say bias, less angry than some of our rants sometimes get when we're not recorded in a coffee shop somewhere. But yes, this is kind of what we do. We talk about these animals. We talk about zoos and aquariums and all sorts of things. So that's kind of the insight you're getting into our lives. And hopefully you enjoy that as well. And I think part of that is why we think we are the right people for this job, is that we think this is the thing we talk about constantly. I think between us, we probably have about 15 to 20 years experience. Given we're both, like, if we add our things up, we've got about 15 to 20 years experience and we're both 24. I think that's pretty good, pretty good levels of experience to have of kind of working in zoos and aquariums and all sorts of things. So lots of experience working in them, visiting them, thinking about them, talking about them. I remember when I was younger, I played a lot of Zoo Tycoon. Don't know if that counts for anything, but I'll throw that in there. One for the retro PC gaming fans out there. I loved that so much. Every time we went to the zoo, I would make my mom come home and play it with me for hours. And she would just be like, the only thing she liked about it was the warthogs, because she could make lots of money because they would be at it like rabbits, like constantly banging out more warthogs.
Well, a clever businesswoman, you know?
Yeah, selling off warthogs. So that's why I think we're the right people for the job. I don't know, Jodie, why should people listen to us, and why should they care about what we have to say?
Yeah, I mean, as you just said, we have spent more hours of our lives than I care to count, either in zoos or talking about them when we're not at work. And I think as well, we give a really holistic approach, because we obviously go in with the sort of joy of just being there as a visitor and having the passion and the enjoyment there. But we can also offer the insight, you know, as being sort of zoo people, we've worked in the collection, so maybe that gives us a little bit more of an understanding and an appreciation for some details that regular visitors might overlook. And I think because we come at it almost from sort of two different lenses, like you're more conservation focused and I'm more education and visitor engagement focused, it means that like we will pick up on things that the other might miss, and then it means that overall we've kind of hit all the bases and you get a really good holistic view of the whole zoo experience, I think.
Yes, I think so. I think that's a very good word. Holistic is an excellent word. I always think, like, whenever someone uses it, I'm like, you are clever.
I throw it into every essay I've ever written just because it's a buzzword and they love it.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. A's across the board for that. Before we go, I think that's kind of summed up, I suppose, what we set out to do, which was why we are here, what we're going to be doing, and kind of our why you should listen to us. But I think something that I think would be good for us to do, just to give the listeners a little bit more insight into us and a little bit more insight into what they can expect us to maybe love about certain things or rant about certain things, depending on where we are. I wondered, I have a couple questions. We're going to talk briefly about favourite zoos, favourite enclosures, and pet peeves. So I want to know, first of all, what is your favourite zoo that you've ever been to in the whole world, Jodie? What's the best one?
Oh, it's hard to narrow it down. I feel like, okay, I can't give you one answer. I have to split it into two. So favourite in the UK, I think I would have to say Chester. Like, we visited recently and I had never been until then. I'd heard all the hype about it and I was like, oh, well, I'm going to have to go and see what this is all about. And having now visited, I understand the hype and I see why it's like the tough one to beat, because it's just so impressive. So I think that would be my favourite in the UK. And outside the UK, I would say Amsterdam Zoo. Not even necessarily because it's like the best one I've ever been to, although it is good, but just because it was the first zoo that I ever went to outside the UK, so it's fond memories of that trip. And also it meant that because it was the first one I'd been to sort of internationally, I got the chance there to see a lot of animals that I maybe hadn't seen before. And then obviously it's got like the aquarium and I think a planetarium or an observatory in it as well. So it was kind of like three attractions in one. So yeah, fond memories of Amsterdam Zoo. And I would be keen to go back now through a zoo lover's eyes and see if I have a new appreciation for it.
Mm-hmm. Amsterdam was actually one I was going to bring up because it's something that I went a few years ago before I was fully kind of tuned in to conservation and everything. And it was kind of something that I guess going back now, I would be intrigued to see if my opinion had changed, because I remember it being really, really interesting and really kind of having a lot of species and a lot of interesting kind of the use of buildings and all sorts of stuff was unique almost in anything that I've ever experienced. And I would like to go back and see if it still is as good as I remember, or if it perhaps
if we look at it differently now, has kind of tinted
it fondly, perhaps. But I would like to go and see that again. I suppose if we're doing UK versus the world, in terms of like favorite here and abroad, I guess my favorite in the UK would be, I was thinking Chester, and I was gonna say Chester and agree with you, but I think the more that I thought about it, when I was writing these questions and thinking about it, was the Highland Wildlife Park, run by the Royal Zoological Society of Scotland, which I know we both work for, so that is kind of biased. But the reason I say the Highland Wildlife Park is not just because of the kind of the conservation aspects and the animals that they have, and the fact that they have things that I've never seen anywhere in the world, like they had a polar bear cub, and they have these amazing massive bison that I'd never seen, and an amazing habitat for wolves, and all of these things that I'd never seen. I think it celebrates Scotland, which I think is fantastic, and I love that. Being Scottish, it's nice to see kind of places that celebrate what we have here. And I also think that I just have so many fond memories of childhood attached to that place as well. And just throughout my life, all good things tend to happen when I'm around the Highland Wildlife Park. I think that is a good thing. And I think it's something that, everyone's favourite zoo is going to be different. So maybe if you're listening at home, you can write in somewhere and tell us what yours is and why it is. Because it might not be based on the animals or the conservation or anything. It could be the person.
I think that's really interesting. What you just said, and kind of what I said as well, shows that a lot of what makes it your favourite is to do with like the memories and the feeling that's associated with it. That's really interesting.
Yeah, and I think if we're talking abroad, further afield, my favourite would be the Toronto Zoo, or Toronto. I forget you're not supposed to say the second T. I got shouted at a lot of times for that when I was in Canada. I love the Toronto Zoo for many reasons. I went by myself. I went to visit my friend in Canada just before the pandemic started, and she was working one day, and I thought, I'm going to go to the zoo. And I went there, and still alone in minus, I think it was 16 degrees, had a fantastic, fantastic day and loved it. Everyone was so nice. I got in for free. I probably shouldn't say this, but the reason I got in for free was because as I was walking up, a nice Canadian woman came up to me and said, "Are you going in?" And I was like, "Yes, I am. Yeah." She's like, "My husband couldn't come today and we have a membership, so you can come in with us." Just like,
I was like, that?
Love you. And she had her grandkids. I was just like, you are so nice. So all of these good things happened. Canada, God bless you. You are lovely. fantastic. Walked in, spent the whole day wandering around, taking pictures, just appreciate it. It was just fantastic. And I think it leads on well to my favorite enclosure of all time. And I think what I was going to mention here is in the Toronto Zoo, they had a lot of indoor kind of pavilions, they're called. So they have the African Rainforest Pavilion, Indo-Malaya Pavilion, America's Pavilion, that's a mouthful, and the Australasia Pavilion. And they are fantastic. I love them so much because obviously in Canada, it is freezing cold sometimes of the year. They have these massive indoor greenhouses, essentially, that have orangutans and gibbons and lemurs and hippos and tigers and all sorts of indoor spaces that are just as fantastic as an outdoor space, but indoor, so you can still enjoy them and the animals can still stay warm. It's just such creative thinking, and I think it's something that more zoos should do, because I think these indoor kind of spaces are just always fascinating. You can get a lot of species in quite close proximity almost, because you're kind of jumping from one. It works really, really well, and I love them, love them, love them. If you're in Canada, go. I know we have some listeners in Canada, so if you haven't been, I'm sure you have probably been, but if you haven't been, go and see them. Fantastic. And so I suppose that would be my favorite enclosure. I kind of fudged the brief there slightly. I picked multiple enclosures, but we'll go with it. My favorite enclosures of all time. I don't know, where, Jodie, what for you? What sticks in your head?
Well, I'm also going to pick two enclosures because I love how we were like, we're going to keep this short and quick, but we should know by now when we get talking about zoos, it's not short and quick. Yeah. I think my favourite, or certainly the enclosure that stands out when I remember this trip, was in Paris Zoo, which is a zoo that I really liked. And when you went into, it's split into different sections, like areas of the world. I think they call them biozones. So in one of the biozones, you went in and it was like a big sort of glass house, like a tropical glass house, and it had free flying birds and lots of different animals in there. And then at the bottom of the big waterfall feature that they had, there was just this huge tank that had manatees in it. And I think it had some really big fish like arapaima and arowana as well. But just that tank with manatees is what stands out to me. And it was just in the big glass house with the waterfall. It was just a really, really nice tank. And it's what stands out in my mind when I think of that zoo. An honourable mention has to go to an enclosure at Edinburgh Zoo, which I just love, which is Tiger Tracks. And the reason that I love it is because, I mean, you know, Jack, you've been there. Like, there's just something really unique about standing in that tunnel and one of the tigers walking over the top of your head and just seeing those big paws hit the glass above your head. Like, it's heart stopping and a little bit terrifying, but just so brilliant and majestic. So I love that enclosure because of that aspect.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love how you picked a kind of strange, bizarre species that not many people would have seen, like the manatees. And then you came back, looked around, brought it back to tigers, something we all love and are more familiar with. I saw manatees once when I was in Florida, and they are just, I don't know, they're one of those animals that they fall into the category of, you shouldn't be cute. If you were to describe this to someone, you shouldn't be cute. There's no reason for you. But when you see them, you're like, I just love you. I just want to jump in there and give you a cuddle. So yes, good choices all around, I think. I've never been to Paris Zoo, so I will have to, I'll have to go.
Like, I went to Paris for about a week. And in that time, did barely any of the traditional visitor attractions, but visited four different animal collections, two zoos and two aquariums. And I have absolutely no regrets about that because they were all fantastic.
Love that. I'm going to go to Paris as soon as I can.
Yes.
Drag people. This is what we're doing, people. Just to lay it out on the table. We're finding excuses to go to zoos.
And yes.
That's the whole, this show is just a ruse. It is just an excuse for us to go and celebrate animals and see new things and love it and just have the best time. So yes, I can see, and I do the same thing. Like, I got on many buses to get to Toronto Zoo by myself, through many areas where I'm like, I'm lost. And if I get off this bus, I don't know if I'll find my way home again. But I made it in the end. And I think that's what zoo people do. We travel and we go the extra mile to get to these places, even if it involves spending 4 days of our holiday dragging our loved ones around places they don't necessarily want to be.
Anyone who comes to a zoo with us gets forced to love it, because you just have to if you're coming with us. You've got to get on board.
New Year's Eve this year, I dragged four friends to Edinburgh Zoo, and they had the best day. I would say private guided tour by me, they had the best time. So yeah, I think we'll turn people around, even non-traditional zoo lovers. You'll find something here for you to love. Now on the flip side of that coin, we wanted to talk about the good. We wanted to talk about our favorite zoos, our favorite enclosures, the things that we've loved, and just to give you a taste of what might be coming up and the types of things we will be appreciating. But there is also another very important thing, and I think it's a good chance for us to get things off our chest, Jodie. Maybe release some of the anger before we record episodes about them. What are your zoo pet peeves? What are the things that you are going to be the most critical of, and what are the things that annoy you the most when it comes to zoos?
Well, something that we talk about all the time, we always bang on about this, is a zoo that's badly laid out. Like, that's why I liked Paris Zoo, because I liked that they had it in the biozones and it made sense and there was a flow. But zoos where it seems like there's no sense of cohesion and everything's just stuck everywhere. And also when the route isn't very clear, sometimes it's nice to be able to just go a route that you want rather than following a one way. But then, like, you know what we're like, we have our day at a zoo planned with military precision. We've got our route in mind and we don't want to feel like we're missing anything. So when it's badly laid out, sometimes you have that fear that you're getting a bit confused and you're missing paths and windows. And I won't say anymore, because as you can tell, it's a passionate subject. But yes, zoos that are badly laid out or that don't make the best use of the space that they have.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And I think it's something that I clock, because having worked in these places now, if things are not totally obvious, so people will miss them. And it's not necessarily always the people or the visitors' fault that they miss them. Like, people will walk past things and just not clock that they're
there. People will walk past big things. But, you know, it's like, come on, people, come on.
Yes.
Moving swiftly on from that.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you want me to edit that out, perhaps?
No, I mean, well, it's my peeve. It's the thing that annoys me. So it can be edited out or it can stay in. I don't really care. I'm giving honest reviews.
Jodie McFarlane, always providing the best customer service. smiles all round. but yes, and I suppose, I guess similarly for me, is when zoos are not grouped in ways that make sense. I want to see animals that are meant to be together, put things. And it's like what you said, Toronto did both things very well, because it had the one way kind of, not one way, but one route round. But then also kind of you went through a tundra, went through Africa, and it all made sense. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the thing that I, when it's not like that and it's all over the place, it might just be to do with my brain and the way that it functions. But that's kind of one of my things as well. I also think something that kind of, I wouldn't say annoys me, but does irritate me, is the whole point, I think, of a zoo in the 21st century is to be educational and inspiring and make people want to act for nature. And if there's no signage to tell them what the threats are, or if there's no kind of educational kind of value to what they can actively be doing to help conservation, that kind of annoys me, because I'm like, you're seeing these animals and you're becoming inspired, but being inspired is only half of what you're meant to do at the zoo. You're meant to learn and improve. So if there's nothing, no kind of pointers or no kind of signs that say do this, then it can sometimes be like the battle is not won, because you've just kind of gone half the distance. The full, I like it when there's proper, good, clear signage about what the animal's threats are and what can be done to help save them. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of one of my things. And I'm just going to keep going because I'm on a roll. My last thing, I think, is when theming is bad or overly stereotypical. So when we go to zoos, I think something that I will look out for is when you walk into a place that is based, say, around India or based around China, and you walk in and you feel like you're in a zoo, say, in the UK, and you walk in and you go, this is almost borderline offensive, the portrayal of these cultures. That annoys me, because I think it can be when done correctly, it can really set a mood, it can set a tone, it can transport you mentally to the place where the animals are meant to be. But that has to be done with the most careful of hands and the most thought and the most cultural sensitivity that you can, because sometimes you walk into a place and you go, this is like a movie from the 1930s and 40s, where you're watching it now going, oh, absolutely not. We should not be showing this. We should not be acting like this. So something like that, that does kind of annoy me.
Yeah, but, and I guess that's a problem if you've got an older zoo, especially, because obviously it was been made a while ago. But coming into the world as a modern zoo now, we've got to keep up.
Yes, and I think that's another thing that I quite like, if done properly. The use of old buildings in zoos when modernized can be really cool, and can be done in a proper way that kind of highlights the past of the zoo, yes, and what zoos maybe used to be, and says, oh, we've changed and we've grown and we can do so much more. So I like the old buildings when they are upgraded and done properly. So yeah, if you've got old buildings in a zoo, that's a plus for me, if they have been upgraded and are meet proper animal welfare standards.
Yes.
That's a plus. So yes, I suppose the final thing, we're not ending on a negative. We're not going to end with our pet peeves. The final thing I wanted to ask, and the final thing that I think the listeners should know, is what would be your dream zoo to review? We've got quite a few written down as ones we want to go to. We've got a list that we're going to check off. But for you personally, what would be your dream zoo to visit?
I think my dream zoo would probably be Australia Zoo. Like, the mother of all zoos, come on, we'd have to do that one. Or really any of the ones in Australia, because I feel like they're just another level. So yeah, that would be a dream. Probably not for a while yet, because, you know, COVID's not quite letting us live the dream yet. Mm-hmm. But one day it will come, one day.
It will. I was going to say, I hadn't written it on my notes. And then I sent these notes over to you and I was like, oh, maybe I should put it down in case she said, no, I'm not going to. You said the one I was going to say. Mm-hmm. I would love to go. Of course, I'd love to go back and review Toronto or Amsterdam or things that we've mentioned and kind of go back to these places. But somewhere I've never been that we'd love to go would be Australia Zoo. Yes. I loved Steve Irwin when I was younger. I love his family now. They are the most wholesome and lovely and fantastic people. And I would love to go and visit the zoo and see the work that they do in person. I think it would be fantastic. And it would give me an opportunity to bring out my very bad Australian accent, which I will not do now.
That's probably a good way to get kicked out of Australia, but sure.
Yep. my friend, previous guest, Penelope Jacobs, who was on season one of the podcast, now lives in Australia. So we have an in. And she says my Australian accent is good. And I don't know whether she is just humouring me or whether she's being honest. But I think, yeah, we need to go so we can test it out. She can come back as a special guest. So, yes, in a dream one day, I'd like to do Australia Zoo. I remember when I was younger, and I won't specify the age because it was too old to be doing this. But I remember when we arrived at the Animal Kingdom in Florida, Disney's Animal Kingdom, I cried. I cry. Like walking up to the gates while I Just Can't Wait to Be King was playing. and I was like, I'm so happy. Just started crying.
I love that you did this as a child, but this would fully be you now if we did this like tomorrow.
Yep. And it was, I say child, that was a very loose description of my age. child as in I was still at not a university. So yes, that was my I'd love to go back there and see, because obviously it's kind of like zoo / theme park / Disney attraction. So I'd be intrigued to go back and see what's going on there and what the kind of conservation story is, because that's something that I think would be interesting and would probably be very expensive. So if Disney, you would like to sponsor us to do that, I would love that. So just give me a call. You can find me on Twitter. So do that. But yes, I guess those are our dreams, our favorite things, our least favorite things, who we are, what the show is. I think we've kept it fairly brief, which is shocking for us.
Yes.
But we'll see. So yes, I guess all that remains, I suppose, before I go, of course, Jodie, is there anything else you'd like to say to the listeners?
Oh,
Any inspirational message to leave on? I don't know.
An inspirational message. You're putting me on the spot now.
And that's the kind of I could give
you a message, but how inspirational it's going to be, I don't know.
What would your message be? Maybe inspirational was too much pressure. What would your message be to our listeners to leave on?
I don't know. Just like, it's been a tough few years and zoos bring so much joy. So this year, 2022.
It's been a long year.
It's been a long 2 years, gang. This is going to be the year of joy, and we are making it our year of joy by just going to so many zoos because we just love them. So come along for the ride.
Mm-hmm. And before Jodie says anything else nonsensical, I will wrap up the show. Thank you all so much for listening to our first ever episode of ReZoo. I am so excited to do this kind of new journey, this new adventure with everyone, to go to all of these places that we've mentioned, to new places, to just celebrate conservation in all of its forms. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your streaming service of choice. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Podcasts, all over the place. So make sure to subscribe on there. We will be on, all of these will be being posted to the Pangolin, the conservation podcast kind of stream, so follow that and they'll all be there for you. You can also follow us on social media at Pangolin Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. We're also on Facebook and on LinkedIn as well, so you can follow us on there and we'll update you on the show, on where we're going, on photos of the animals, on all sorts of fun stuff. Make sure to follow us on there. And yes, I suppose subscribe, everything. It's a new year, and we're celebrating over a year of existence now and a whole new series. And if you've enjoyed that year with us, make sure to leave us a nice review. Tell us where you want us to go. You can do that on wherever you want. Just contact us however. Tell us where you want us to review. ReZoo, I should say. And yeah, I guess that's all of my rambling done as well. And yes, I guess before we go, one last thing to mention would be our next episode is a two-part special we recorded for a long time. All of our thoughts about Chester Zoo, and it's a good one. We have many thoughts, hence why it went on for 2 hours. So yes, make sure and tune in for our review, our review of Chester Zoo, which will be coming out next week. And yeah, thank you all so much for joining us today. I don't know, we should probably think of some kind of coordinated goodbye, but we haven't done that yet. So I will just say from both of us, Jodie, you can chime in if you would like. One last massive thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.